Blog Talk Radio.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners.
A new record, Michael Strahan. 22 and a half sacks. Breaks the bar held by Mark Gatineau.
Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
Santonio with a touchdown. Santonio home. I don't know how he did it.
I'm raising the ante. Anybody wants in, get in. Anybody wants out, get out.
Devin Hester, you are ridiculous.
That's got to be one of those top 10 plays on SportsCenter YouTube.
Stay calm. Let's keep our composure.
A lot of time and patience.
Good Skittles time. You're never too old for Skittles.
Hello and welcome to the radio, to this week's radio show here on H4TV News. I am your host, Jesse Mayfield Sheehan. I am joined by my colleague, Xander Manning. Xander, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Jesse?
I am doing great. I'm glad to be here. We are here talk some Boston sports, so let's get right to it. We're going to start off with the Bruins, really the only team playing right now. It's a bit of an awkward time right now in the sports world. It's that moment in February, you know, where the NFL's in the off season, spring training has just started for the MLB, the NBA's in the All-Star break, and for some strange reason, Sports Illustrated still puts out a swimsuit issue. So it's an awkward time in the world of sports. I'm not going to complain either. I'll question it, but I won't complain. But moving along. We're going to start off with the Boston Bruins, since, as I said, they're the only team playing. Unfortunately, the way they're playing is not exactly great. They've lost their last four games have not exactly been great. They've lost four in a row and have lost five of their last six. They've just looked absolutely terrible in the month of February. They've only won one game out of six in the month of February. Xander, what's going on with the Bruins?
It's their defense. Jesse, it's pretty simple. It's just the defense. That's been their problem all season since they got rid of Johnny Boychuk. But I'm going to point at one player in particular here, and that player is Matt Barkowski. He's got a -2 rating since being called up from Providence. And their defense has just lacked in their defense. A lot of people have been saying, oh, they're getting older, but really what it is they're getting slower. They're not getting back into zone. They're not playing the way that they're used to playing. I mean, Chara got hurt for a little while. He's still recovering from that. I get that, but you got to play a lot better than this. It's really a shame that Kevin Miller got hurt again, honestly, because he's got the best plus-minus on the team. He's a +20 this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Miller has been probably the biggest surprise on the defensive end, but, I mean, how can you really put this on Barkowski, though? I mean, like you said, he's just been called up, and this defense hasn't really been living up to its potential, like, all year. I mean,
he's also gotten called up multiple times, though. I want to point that out, too. He's been called up multiple times, and yet still, I wrote an article about this a few days ago. He's played in over 107 NHL games and still has yet to record a goal. And he's got less than 30 points. He's doing nothing to contribute to this team. They need better defense.
Yeah. I mean, those are offensive statistics, but I definitely hear you. Barkowski, he hasn't really lived up to his potential since all those times being called up to the Bruins. He just hasn't shown up. And I tell you, I got a feel for him a little bit. All that playing time, still waiting for that first goal. That's got to be brutal, though. Not as brutal as this current losing streak for the Bruins. You know, as we mentioned last week, you know, we talked about all the promise this team had coming off such a great season last season, and it just has been such a struggle this year. But for now, let's move on to our next topic, which is another call of a different call, perhaps a bit more promising than Matt Barkowski, hopefully. This is the call-up of Malcolm Subban, first-round draft pick of the Boston Bruins back in 2012, goaltender, and, you know, considering the play of some of Boston's goaltenders this year, you know, this might be something good. You know, particularly Niklas Svedberg, he's been pulled in two of his last three outings. So, you know, is Subban really the spark that this team needs at goalie? Should he be starting soon? What do you think, Xander?
I'm not necessarily going to say he's got to start every single game, but yeah, you got to give the guy some time. He's proved himself in the minors. He's got a 2-something goals against average this season down in Providence, and that's some great numbers because that's a very tough conference down there. He's got to play teams like Hershey. They've got to play teams like Scranton. All those teams have some very good players on them, some budding prospects, but nowhere really to go. You know, Hershey's the minor league affiliate for the Capitals. They don't really have any holes that they need to fill. The Scranton for the Penguins, they don't really have any holes they need to fill. He's played some very good hockey down in Providence, and I think that they don't necessarily need to start him in order to spark the team, but sort of just show them that there's other options out there and that they can afford to get rid of some guys that they may consider to be pieces, like Nicholas Svedberg. They could easily get rid of him right now. But I'm not going to say that goaltending is the number one problem on this team, though. I mean, it's the defense that's the problem, and the goaltending just doesn't have the help in front. So I think he could help them eventually, I'm not saying, but not necessarily right away.
Yeah, no doubt. He's definitely a guy with a lot of potential, although another thing, and I brought this up in an article I wrote a couple of days ago, is, you know, one thing they could be trying to do here, they could be trying to showcase this guy. I mean, he's definitely a guy that other teams have been, you know, looking at in terms of possible trades. You know, I know Peter Chiarelli, he's gotten plenty of calls about him that's been reported. From what I've read, it seems like Chiarelli is not really that interested in a trade for Subban right now unless he gets someone really good. But, I mean, maybe you call this guy up and maybe he gets a start and maybe he increases his value and maybe you can get something for him. Who knows?
I don't really blame Chiarelli there, honestly. He's a prized prospect, and honestly, I would not trade him right now. And honestly, even if I was another GM, I wouldn't trade for him either. He hasn't really proved himself. Unless you're someone like Edmonton, you're desperate for a goalie, then I'd say no, don't even approach him. Look at him for this season, see what he can do, and take that as a first impression. Then you got to look at next season, see what he does next year. Is he down in Providence? Is he up in the NHL because Svedberg isn't NHL ready? I think you got to look at this guy longer than just a few games. They may be showcasing him for in the off season possibly, but I don't look at him as a trade target right now. If I'm Peter Chiarelli, like you said, unless you get someone really good, unless you're getting someone like TJ Oshie or Jordan Eberle, then I don't see the use in trading him right now.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is a bit of a long shot. I admit, it's a bit of a long shot. Malcolm Subban, definitely a valuable prospect and probably not someone you're going to get what you want for, not someone you're going to get somebody that's going to, you know, break the bank, somebody that's going to break your team open and get you in the, you know, in a higher playoff spot. You're not going to get somebody that's going to save your season in a trade for Malcolm Subban right now. But who knows, he may start to prove himself. He may get some quality starts out of him, and he may start to improve himself, you know, with some play this season. And, you know, I agree with you that I think it's worth having him get some play time. He's a young guy, and he's worth getting his first NHL start. So my question to you, just really quick before we go to our commercial in about a minute, is when do you think he gets his first start?
I think he gets against Edmonton. Simple as that. Edmonton's a team that struggled to score goals this season, along with the Bruins, but they don't have necessarily the guys that can necessarily beat them straight up, or they do, but I think he gets a start against Edmonton because it's a relatively easy opponent, but it's still a challenge because I know that Claude Julien's going to want to challenge him, put him in some tough situations, and that is a relatively tough situation. I give him the start against Edmonton. I don't see why you would start him against a team like St. Louis or Chicago, where he's clearly going to get slaughtered, and you want a goalie like Rask in there against a great goalie like Crawford or Brian Elliott. I put him in against Edmonton, give him like an easy start to his NHL career. Maybe he won't pick up the win easily, but he won't pick it up in a hard-fought game like against St. Louis or Chicago.
Yep. All right, well, you heard it here, folks. Xander Manning picking Malcolm Subban to get his first NHL start tonight at 10 p.m. against the Edmonton Oilers, so be sure to check out that game if you want to catch Bruins hot prospect Malcolm Subban in net. It seems like there's a good chance. We don't know, but there is a good chance. All right, so that's the end of our first segment on the Boston Bruins. Stick around after this quick commercial break. We'll be back to talk the rest of the Boston sports. Stay tuned.
Now I'm here.
Welcome back to this radio show here on H4TV News. I am still your host, Jesse Mayfield Sheehan, and I am still joined here by Xander Manning. Thank you for listening through on that nice commercial break. That was some pretty catchy music there, you know. I do sort of miss Samuel L. Jackson's nice beer commercial we had last week, but I appreciate this new music. What do you think, Xander?
It's a good substitute for it. I mean, Samuel L. Jackson and beer getting all fired up, that was great, but, you know, It was a catchy tune. You can't deny it was a catchy tune.
Yeah, can't argue with a catchy tune for a commercial. But back to the Boston sports, because that's what we're here for. So we're on to the Boston Celtics. As I said, you know, we're in the All-Star break in the NBA right now. February is such a weird month in sports. But we're going to talk about what have the Celtics got to do. You know, they're coming out of the All-Star break. You know, they've got a big road trip coming up for them. So, Xander, what have they got to do coming out of this All-Star break? They went into the All-Star break with such momentum, with a buzzer-beater win over the top-ranked Atlanta Hawks. So how do they keep that momentum going coming out of this All-Star break?
Well, I said it last week, Jesse. I'm going to say it again. They need to win those greasy games. Like last week, they beat the Atlanta Hawks. That was a great win there for them. But I got three other objectives for them. They need to score more points early. Right now, they're scoring probably on average about 18 to 22 in the first quarter. They need to score around 25 to 27 if they want to continue winning. And they need, most importantly, they need to wear teams down. If they miss a shot, they need to box out. They need to get the rebound. They need to make the other team work for that rebound. They can't just let them waltz in there and take the rebound off a three-point shot. They need guys like Tyler Zeller to snatch it off the rim and then slam it down. They need to win those battles in the offensive zone. And like we said, Jared Sullinger is playing some great basketball, and he needs to keep playing the way he is.
Yep, absolutely, and, you know, it's definitely going to be – it's turning into a really interesting, in a weird sort of way, a kind of interesting season for the Boston Celtics. You know, we talked about this a little bit last week. You know, this team somehow, in spite of all of its best efforts to tank, is somehow in a hunt for the playoffs, for the last playoff spot. You know, there are a couple of games out of the playoffs right now, but they're just a couple of games out of that eighth spot, which, you know, may say more about how pathetic the Eastern Conference is right now than how well the Celtics are doing. But, you know, still give credit. You know, there are some young guys really proving themselves on the Celtics this year. You know, give credit where credit is due. Most of the credit to the pathetic Eastern Conference, but some to the Celtics. But with all that in mind, the big question, and I know one of our other Boston sports writers here on H4, Joey Sade, I know he wrote an article about asking this question. Should the Celtics be making a push for the playoffs instead of tanking for a high draft pick? Now, this is definitely an interesting question because, you know, you got to weigh, do you up the players' morale by giving them their first visit to the playoffs? Do you think more for the future with the drafts? Which is better for the future? Which is better for the now? You know, it's so many questions surrounding this. So, Xander, I mean, I need an answer here, man. This is confusing. You know, what can you tell me?
I'm saying they push for the playoffs. Honestly, it's been a few years since they've been in the playoffs, and they've had a team that's actually been playing good team basketball like they are this year. So I say that definitely you focus on the playoffs this year. I mean, why focus on draft picks? You basically have all the pieces you need except for a solid point guard like Rondo, but they don't need a solid point guard right now. They focused on centers in the draft. Did they get a solid center out of that? Maybe. They have two centers right now, too. They achieved their focus in the offseason. They have all the pieces there. I don't see why they don't focus on the playoffs, see how far that takes them, and who knows, it might even take them to the conference finals.
Whoa, now that is bold right there, Xander. The
conference finals? Hypothetical statements.
That's hypothetical. The Celtics, you know, may make it to the conference finals, and, you know, we may wake up tomorrow and all the snow will be gone, and, you know, Boston people will be able to walk down the street again. You know, it's possible. What you're saying is there's a chance, you know?
There's a possible chance. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Exactly. We have to clarify, people. What Xander's saying is there's a chance. I do agree with you on the point that they should make a push for the playoffs, because I think what's important is, like you said, they do have a lot of pieces in place. I think they do have a lot of pieces that could be a part of the future for this team, and you want them to gel together as a team. You know, you want to get guys like, you know, Marcus Smart and Jared Sullinger and James Young. You want those guys to have the experience of being in the playoffs and of leading their team in the playoffs. You want them to get that experience so they can develop further as players.
Well, it's not just that, but also, and you look at what Danny Ainge said at the beginning of the season. Danny Ainge was trying to say that this season was a rebuilding season, but it's turned into a postseason season, and I think you need to take advantage of that and push towards the playoffs, because no matter if you're rebuilding or you're in the playoff hunt, you shouldn't give up on the playoff hunt if you somehow wind up there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, we can talk about the future. We can talk about getting good draft picks. The number of draft picks that the Celtics have lined up and the number of them that are protected for pretty high picks, you know, is quite astounding given the number of deals they've made. So I don't think they really need to worry about that necessarily so much, you know. And, I mean, given how much worse some other teams are in the NBA right now, I don't think they're going to get a great draft pick this year. So I would say push for the playoffs. Give your young guys that playoff experience that would help them so much. And
I mean, even if they don't push for the playoffs, if they don't push for the playoffs and they go for higher draft picks, I've looked at this draft class. Honestly, it's not as nice as it was last year. If you want to push for draft picks, you go back in time and you go to last year. I don't see why you focus on this year. I don't see an Andrew Wiggins or a Jabari Parker in the draft this year.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, but that's going to do it for the Celtics for right now. We are going to make a move over to a new special segment, first time for us, and that is going to be our buy or sell segment. The trade deadlines, they're coming up for both the Bruins and the Celtics, the NHL and NBA, both coming up. So I'm going to, you know, write off some rumors to you. I'm going to, you know, say them off to you really quick, Xander, and I need you to tell me, do you buy or do you sell these rumors? Do you buy or sell these happening really quick? You ready for me?
Go ahead.
All right. First rumor. People have been saying that I've heard from a rumor that the Boston Bruins may be willing to let go of Dennis Seidenberg and Louis Erickson. Do you buy or sell them trading these guys?
I completely buy this. Honestly, Seidenberg is one of the defenders that has lacked this season. He's played mediocre. And then there's Louis Erickson. The guy scores some solid goals in his first year of his contract, and then he goes downhill. I buy this completely. I would not be surprised if they were gone at the end of March.
All right. And then sticking with the Bruins, got another rumor. That is that the Bruins might be pursuing, I believe it's Curtis Glencross, is it?
Yeah.
And,
that
is correct. All right. We got a rumor here that they might be pursuing Curtis Glencross. Do you buy or sell the Bruins picking up Glencross?
I completely sell this one. This one, I don't see why they would sign Glencross. He's a centerman. They don't need a centerman right now. And even if he does play the wing, The guy he would not fit in Boston very well. The Bruins need a goal scorer, not a playmaker, and the guy's a playmaker. So I completely sell this one.
All right. Now we're going to move on to the Celtics rumors. Really quick, let's speed things up. The Celtics, a rumor saying that they are in the run for Goran Dragic. Do you buy them picking up Dragic?
I can see Dragic, yes. I can see that, but I don't see them taking it to too many lengths. I see them pursuing it as far as they will and then possibly letting go a little bit because they're definitely going to ask for a little bit too much from the Celtics.
All right. Next one, sticking with the Celtics, rumors of them pursuing guard Ty Lawson. Do you buy or sell the Celtics picking up Lawson?
I see them picking the same thing. I completely agree. I buy this, but to a certain extent, I'm not going to say that they're going to go completely out of their way to sign him, but I don't necessarily rule them out going for him initially.
So this is like in the eBay world, you're putting down a bid, but you're not clicking buy now just yet.
Exactly.
Okay. I think I got it. All right. Last rumor really quick. The Celtics are saying that if they aren't able to trade Tayshaun Prince by the end of the trade deadline, that they will buy out his contract. Do you buy or sell the Celtics buying out? Do you buy or sell this buyout?
This is a tough one, to be honest. I see that I buy this one because they would want to free up salary cap, but I sell it because I don't see the logic in freeing up the salary cap. Because who are they going to sign in the offseason? Let's be real. Free agent, top targets, top what cities that free agents want to go to the Clippers, to the Cavs, to the Heat. But who are the Celtics going to get in the offseason? I buy it that they would do it, but I sell it because I don't think that it's logical.
Okay, so you're buying it and you're selling it.
I'm buying it, but I'm selling it for a higher price.
Okay. He's trying to play the market here. Xander's quite the businessman with his buy or sell segment. But that's going to do it for our first buy or sell segment there. Xander, you are quite the shrewd businessman on the segment. Thank you for that. And we are going to quickly move on to the Red Sox. We've got about 7.5 minutes left in our show here. We're going to move on to the Red Sox. There are more rumors, more off-season rumors, because, of course, we're still in the off-season for baseball. Again, freaking February, man. But the rumors for the Red Sox, they are that they might be pursuing Cole Hamels. We've been hearing all kinds of rumors about that they're not even close. They might be close, and they might be in it. They might not. Xander, should the Red Sox pursue Cole Hamels, and if they do they get him?
I'm going to go back to my point that I made in the buy and sell segment. Yes, I'd say they do go after him, but I say they take it to a certain extent. If they do get him, they're going to have to give up some prospects. They're going to have to give up guys like Garen Cecchini. They're going to have to give up Blake Swihart. Both guys, I know that the Red Sox do not want to give up. They may even have to give up Mookie Betts. Red Sox, I'm not going to want to give up those guys. I know that that's what Ruben Amaro Jr. is looking for from the Red Sox. He's looking for prospects, not major league players. And the person I feel really bad for right now is Ben Cherington. Ben Cherington he knows that the Red Sox need an ace. He knows that Cole Hamels could fill that void very easily. Also adding a left-handed arm to that rotation before Henry Owens gets called up. Everyone in the baseball world knows that Ben Cherington wants Cole Hamels. But we all know that Ben Cherington is not going to go as far as trading prospects, and Ruben Amaro Jr. isn't going to go as far as taking major league players. So,
yes.
I say
the worst thing you can have in the business world is when everybody knows what you want. So it's definitely a tough situation. Isn't it? Yep. So do you see them pursuing it?
I see them pursuing it to a certain extent, but I see it falling through, to be completely honest.
All right. So you see him pursuing it, you don't see him getting it. That's got to be tough for Red Sox Nation. Looks like they won't be seeing Cole Hamels as an ace, if you are correct there, Xander. All right.
Yes,
let's keep moving. Yes, let's keep moving with the Red Sox. A bit of a weird trend on social media, but when aren't there weird trends on social media in this day and age?
Yeah.
And that is Pablo Sandoval, you know, the new big pickup for the Red Sox, he showed up at spring training, and, you know, there were immediately pictures of him flying around, everybody saying, oh, my gosh, Pablo Sandoval is so overweight. I mean, you know, you got to be honest, Pablo Sandoval wasn't exactly the most in-shape guy even before he came to the Red Sox. You know, maybe he looked, you know, a little heavier in the picture, but, I mean, my question to you, Xander, is are people overreacting here, or is this a legitimate concern?
First of all, I want to commend you on your pun. He was a big pickup. Yes, that is true. But really, it's not an issue. Honestly, I don't see why people pay attention so much to a guy's fitness. It's honestly a bit ridiculous. I mean, the guy, great, he's out of shape. But can he play? Yes. Did you see the hits he got in the World Series? Yes. If he's a tiny bit out of shape at the beginning of spring training, that's not that big of a deal for me. But if he's like that towards opening day, towards the middle of the season, then we've got a bigger problem on our hands.
It does feel a little silly to talk about this, especially in a city that worships, you know, a guy like David Ortiz. You know, no offense to David Ortiz. You know, he's a fantastic player. He's not the skinniest guy on the roster. I'm just going to say it like that. But he's a fantastic hitter, and that's what he does great. And frankly, I'm just going to say this as well. Baseball, let's face it, they probably do the least amount of running of any of the major sports. So,
exactly.
Really,
I mean,
you're worried about how
it takes. If Zdeno Chara gained about 80 pounds over the offseason, then I'd be worried because he's on ice. That's a little different.
Yeah.
But you're on a dirt field and you're playing third base, the position with the least amount of range except for first base. I mean, what's the big deal? The guy loses 2 inches of range. Oh, my God, I'm sorry. We need to find a new third baseman. No, it's ridiculous.
It certainly does feel silly, but we do have to discuss all the biggest topics in Boston sports, so we discussed it. You are welcome. And with that, we're going to move on to another big headline in New England sports, and that is with the Patriots. Yet another development in the ever fantastic Deflategate story, and that is that an ESPN Outside the Lines report has come in saying that a Patriots locker room attendant tried to get an unapproved football into the AFC title game. So, Xander, after all this happened with all this Deflategate stuff, what do you make of this new development?
Once again, it's the Colts being sore losers. I mean, it didn't go through. Like, it didn't get put in the game. Why are people still complaining about this? Like, it didn't get put in the game, so there's no real use in complaining about this. And, I mean, if it comes out that this report is true, he actually did that, just fire the guy. Find a new locker room attendant. It's not so hard. I think it's just complete BS, honestly. This isn't even part of the Deflategate investigation, honestly. It's not a deflated football. It's just not an approved football. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, it really does. It seems to me almost like they're trying to provide a scapegoat for the Patriots, which, you know, makes me question, I mean, do you really buy this report? I mean, it's almost getting to that sort of sense in it at this point.
It's also trying to point fingers at the Patriots. They're like, your season's too good to be true. When Rex Ryan even said himself about the report, he said the Patriots earned the Super Bowl, period. Rex Ryan's even saying it, and Rex Ryan hates the Patriots. Why can't the NFL just accept that the Patriots won the Super Bowl, it's over, let go of the Deflategate?
You know, I mean, it's just, you know, people just want to hate on the Patriots, and the NFL wants something to talk about that doesn't involve domestic violence or child abuse. That's what it is.
I will admit the Patriots aren't a very classy organization. I'll admit that straight up. I'm a Patriots fan, but they are not a very classy organization. If they're a classy organization, they thank teams after they beat them in the playoffs and say, you had a great season, but they didn't say any of that. They're not a very classy organization. I'll be straight up and admit that, but it doesn't mean you need to take every single possible adversity to them and exploit it. I mean, the season's over. I don't know why people haven't accepted this yet.
Who knows? But for right now, that is going to do it for this lovely Boston Sports Radio show. For Xander Manning, I am Jesse Mason. We thank you for tuning in to this show here on H4 TV News. Please join us next week. Thank you for listening.